Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Steel Nation Radio, brought to you by Total Sports Enterprises. I'm Mike Palaya of SteelNationAssociation.com, where we cover the Steelers 24/7 while bringing you, the Steeler fans, together in an effort to raise money for Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. Visit the site, read our articles, listen to our podcasts, join our club, get your shirt, get all your gear, and help us raise money for Children's Hospital at the same time. As I always mention, you can also find my contributions on SteelCityUnderground.com, where there are plenty of great columnists writing about the Steelers all the time on various topics, great videos, great coverage, and much, much more. So check either SteelNationAssociation.com, SteelCityUnderground.com for your Steeler information anytime from any device. Anywhere. So let's get into it. Steelers are now 9-2. They put up 31 points against the Packers, as I actually predicted the exact number in my last podcast last week. I said 31. However, I said they would only give up 13. Obviously, that was not the case, as they won the nail biter late, 31-28, thanks to the Killer Bees. And we'll throw Boswell into that mix because of the big field goal at the end, which I believe was 53 yards, career high for him. So, you know, let's go with that. Let's start there. The Killer Bees offensively are really starting to roll the past couple of weeks. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of them. Ben appears to be back on track. And as I wrote earlier this week, you know, the pendulum had to swing back for him and the rest of the offense. And it's starting to do so. And there's, you know, swinging back towards the good offense that this team is. They're just far too talented for them to have played below that level for too long. It went longer than I thought it would. But I do think now with 40 points and now 31 in back-to-back weeks that this offense is beginning to click and click at the right time for two reasons. One, we're getting down the stretch, so it's time for them to click. But two, and we'll get into this in a minute, the pendulum is also starting to swing, as I wrote, for the defense, meaning they're starting to come back down to earth a little bit, which I don't know about all of you, but I thought would happen sooner than it has. But the last couple of weeks, you can see that they do have some weaknesses on that unit. We'll get there. But in that Packers game, just to kind of wrap that up for a minute or two, you know, I know Ben threw a couple of interceptions, and, you know, one was tipped and one was just a good play, but I'm okay with that. I mean, he threw another 4 touchdown passes, 8 in the last 2 weeks. He was on target. He's stepping up into the pocket. He's extending plays. He's even running for first downs a couple of times, and that's the Ben that we know, and that's the Ben that leads this team to victories. And, you know, I wrote this a couple of weeks ago, and I fully mean this. You know, yes, Le'Veon Bell is the key to the offense, and he really was again the other night, as he ended up with, what, at almost 90 yards receiving and rushing as well. So, I mean, 10 or 11 catches. He was a monster, and AB, of course, what can you say? But the team goes as far as Ben takes them. And, you know, if Ben doesn't play the way he did the last game here against the Packers, they're not going to win that. They're just not. He needs to play that way the rest of the season and through the playoffs for this team to really have a shot. And I think he's going to. I just believe in him. He's got the pedigree. He's been far too good for far too long to think otherwise. And I believe that he's got a chance to really do some special things the rest of the way. AB, speaking of special, is just beyond unbelievable. I mean, the plays he makes, that last catch he made down the sideline, dragging the toe, nobody else in the league makes that play, period. Absolutely nobody else in the league makes that play. And they go to overtime if he doesn't, and who knows what happens from there. Now, there's a great chance they could have won, but we don't know. You just can't say much more about him than what's already been said. He's the best in the world. There is no second compared to him. I mean, there is just no other guy that you can say is arguably in his category. Now, there are some great number twos, but he's the number one. He's the number one. Bell, phenomenal. And if he can continue to roll that way, as he did in the Packer game, if he's not going to be able to make the plays in the running game, which he did in this game, but if he's not, then you always know that you can check down and find him for a 5 or 6 yard dump, and then he's going to carry it from there another 5, 6, 10 yards. He was juking guys out of their shoes in Green Bay, or against Green Bay, I should say, the other night. And that's just Le'Veon Bell. That's him. That's him. I like Jesse James still quite a bit. I think that, you know, he dropped that ball the other night, but I trust him. I do. Martavis Bryant, I thought he showed up and played well when called upon. I actually liked seeing him return the kicks. I think that, you know, maybe provided a little motivation for him. I think that was actually a smart move, get him the ball a couple of extra times. So I liked it, and he's fast. I've said this multiple times, and I've seen these guys as I've stood on the sideline, specifically in training camp, and I think that's possible, and I don't know the clock numbers on these guys, but I think he might be faster than Antonio Brown. I really do. He is quick, so I do like him returning kicks. I still would not elevate him to the number two receiver. I think that's Juju's. We'll see if he plays this week. Obviously, he missed this past week and posted that he felt like he let the team and the fans down, which he didn't. We'd much rather have him later in the year and into the playoffs than worry about a game or two. But I think Juju's the number two guy. However, it is nice to see Martavis catching touchdown passes and making plays, because now if you've got a three-headed monster at wide receiver going into the playoffs, if you recall last year, which we've talked about many times on this show, they did not have anybody other than AB in that Patriot game. So things could look a lot different offensively with that three-headed monster. And then, you know, put Bell on there and Jesse James and Ben, if he's slinging the ball the way he has the past couple of weeks, they are very formidable. The offensive line is great. You know, Gilbert's obviously out another 3 weeks, but Hubbard, again, in my opinion, filled in admirably, and they won the ball game, and that's what to tell you is the most important thing, and it is. I mean, at the end of the day, the only number that counts is the win or the loss. Everything else just kind of factors in, but you know, defensively, if we get onto that, the pendulum to me is starting to swing back and in a direction that's not so positive. What we need to see happen or hope happens is either one, it stabilizes and starts going, you know, the high end again, or it doesn't swing back too far too soon. They are very susceptible to giving up big plays, both in the run and in the pass game. And while they rank as one of the better defenses in the league in both categories, but specifically the pass, you know, I wrote this, but the eyeball test to me does not show me a top-tier defense. It just doesn't. I think they do have holes, specifically in the secondary, which concerns me. You know, I like Artie Burns a lot. I expect him to cover A.J. Green all over the field this coming game. Which we'll talk about, but he's still young. You know, he's going to make mistakes, and that's fine. I think he's going to be a great corner for a long time, and I think he's accelerating that way already. But, you know, he's not going to be perfect, and that's okay. Now, Joe Hayden's out. Cody Sensabaugh got burned this past week. Hayden should be back soon, it seems like. But, you know, I don't know about Mitchell. I think he makes the wrong plays sometimes. He's known for his hard hits, which I think gives him a hall pass in some occasions. I don't really trust him in coverage, quite honestly. And I like Sean Davis, but he ranks, according to Pro Football Focus at least, he's one of the worst strong safeties in football right now, which actually surprises me a little bit, but he is. And, you know, if you think about it, he hasn't made that many big plays this season. So that unit as a whole, I guess where I'm going with this is a bit of a concern. You know, Cam Sutton might be able to be a bigger factor down the stretch now that he's back. I'd like to see what he can do a bit more. You know, we need to get more of a pass rush from the linebackers, I think, you know, to help the pass defense, obviously, the secondary. And that's where I feel James Harrison is being cheated out of a lot of playing time. I mean, he's not even being activated most weeks, which is moronic. I've certainly heard and read and seen things where it, you know, people believe that it's just to rest him for the postseason. That's just not the case. There's something else there. It's bogus. That is not why he's not being activated. If he wasn't playing many snaps, I might buy that argument, but he's not being activated on game day. I mean, first of all, I think this would signify the end of his career after this season. I don't know why in the hell he would stick around for another year of this. The guy works his butt off day in and day out. I mean, you all see the videos on social media. The guy is an animal in the gym at all kinds of weird hours. He's putting in the work, and he's not being rewarded with the time. And I think it's hindering the team. I think, you know, when Brett Hundley throws for 250-plus yards and three touchdowns and no interceptions and barely gets sacked just a couple of times, when he's been sacked quite a bit, actually, and has been very mistake-prone, you have a problem. And I think Harrison can help fix that problem. And I thought after that Kansas City game, we would see a lot more of him, and I'm very shocked and surprised and disappointed that we're not. You know, will that change? I don't know. I do think he'll be active this week, but maybe that's just hopeful thinking. But I suspect he will against Cincinnati. But you know, I wrote about this too. I Bud Dupree has not been very good at all on the outside. I know he's been a disappointment, quite frankly. TJ Watt, I like him. Let's all settle down. I know what I wrote earlier this week. I've heard from you. I'm not saying he's not a good player. I like him. I think he's doing very, very well as a rookie. Let me make that clear. And I think he'll be a very good linebacker for a very long time. But what I was saying is, according to Pro Football Focus, who I respect quite a bit, he is one of the lower ranked, quote unquote, average linebackers in the league. And that's just the truth. That's what he ranks as. Could he be more impactful? And will he be? Yeah. I'm not saying he won't be. But I'm saying his numbers, and I know about the 35-5 guy that he is. I understand he's one of two players for that. But what I'm saying, if you don't know what that is, that's having at least 30 tackles, 5 sacks, and 5 passes defensed. Only him and one other guy, I can't remember off the top of my head, have done that this season. So that's a great feat. But I'm saying in this style offense, defense, they need more out of that position. And he's a rookie, so I'm not saying that that has to be today. But what I'm saying is, because it's not today, you can see that it's hindering, again, the pass defense a little bit. And, you know, they're also allowing some of the big runs. So that does need to improve if they want to get past gulp New England, which, you know, Joe and I a couple of weeks ago spoke about on the show. You know, and now, of course, Tomlin, you know, came out this past week and quite frankly just pointed out that, yeah, that's the quote-unquote elephant in the room, you know, New England. They know they have to get past them. They know that's a big game in a few weeks, and it is. But it's no surprise. They're looming, and they are the team to beat. And until they are not the champions, they have the target on their back. And that's the team that has always had the Steelers' number. So, of course, it's in their heads. And that's what I was in my head. You know, can the Steelers beat the rest of the teams on the schedule? Yes, of course they can. Can they beat New England? Yeah, they can. Do I think they're going to? No, I still don't think they're going to. Not right now. I just don't. I just see Tom Brady just shredding them. I just do. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I think they need that win to get the home game in the championship game against New England and take your chances of beating them twice, as Joe and I discussed. But I don't see it right now. I don't see it right now. But we're not there. We're here to talk about Cincinnati. And the Bengals, believe it or not, are 5-6. And while they're not in a playoff position yet, a victory over Pittsburgh could change things for them in a big way. And, you know, that means that they're going to be out for blood. They always are when they're playing Pittsburgh anyway. It's a very heated rivalry. We talked about this game, obviously, earlier this season when they played in Pittsburgh. It's a game that usually goes to the Steelers, you know, and Ben Roethlisberger owns the state of Ohio. And the Bengals, you know, they seem to kind of choke under the Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis regime in these big time, prime time games, as Joe pointed out on the show 2 weeks ago or so. And he's absolutely right. And I agree with all of that, and I think the Steelers are going to win. But this is a game that I pointed out that I could see the Steelers losing. I could see it, just given the nature of how big it is, specifically for Cincinnati, the fact that it's a Monday nighter, and I know that there are plenty of struggles for Dalton and the team on you know, primetime games. But I could see this potentially going in the wrong direction. That said, I am picking the Steelers to win. I think it's going to be a little bit of a closer game. You know, the Bengals have a poor defense, quite frankly. Did I say defense? Offense. They've got a poor offense, quite frankly. And, you know, that helps. They're at the bottom of the league in both passing and rushing yards per game. But they certainly have a big weapon on the outside with A.J. Green. And Andy Dalton, you know, as much as he comes up short in these big games, he does have the ability to get the ball to Green. And if you get the ball to A.J. Green, he makes things happen. He's got 53 catches for 809 yards, which is a 15.3 average, and 6 touchdowns this year. He is not as good as Antonio Brown, but he's in the conversation as far as the top receivers are concerned. And, you know, that assignment of covering him is not an easy one. And I do expect that to go to Artie Burns, no matter where Green goes on the field. In my opinion, that's what will happen. We'll see. I think Artie Burns can certainly do the job. But like I said, if Green gets the ball and he has time and, you know, if he's left open, forget about it. You know, if he makes a couple of moves and gets by you, forget about it. He's fast and he's good. Dalton, yeah, he's very mistake prone. And I think that the Steelers need to blitz the heck out of him to really kind of rattle him. He's only thrown 8 picks through the first 11 games, so he you know, he's taking care of the ball. He's got a good 92.5 rating, 18 touchdowns. He's completing 62% of his passes. So you know, he's adequate. He's a mid-level quarterback. He's not Ben, but he's a mid-level quarterback capable of getting the job done when needed. And I think the Steelers need to rush the heck out of him. And that is another reason why I think James Harrison should play, and I think he will play. I just expect him to be a force in there. You know, now from the standpoint of them rushing the ball, you've got Joe Mixon. He's having a marginal season. You know, I do think he's a big play kind of guy, a splash play guy, as Mike Tomlin would call him. And I think that they have to watch out for him there for sure. He definitely catches the ball out of the backfield. He's got 26 balls this year so far. So, you know, he's no Le'Veon Bell, but again, he's a guy that you certainly need to watch out for. So that's, you know, kind of the offensive side of things from the Bengals standpoint. Now, defensively, they're actually pretty good, specifically in the passing game. I think they're number 5 or so against the pass. And that means to me that this is a Le'Veon Bell game, a Le'Veon Bell focus game at least. That doesn't mean we take Ben and AB and any of those guys out of the game plan. Obviously, you know, Antonio Brown's going to get his balls, and I think Ben's going to be sharp, and he still has to throw the ball 25 or so times. But I think Le'Veon Bell and maybe finally James Conner, a few carries at least, will be the focal point of the offense, because that rush defense is at the bottom of the league. And, you know, if you can run the ball, you can set up the pass. And that's where I think they'll start. So I expect a heavy dose of Le'Veon Bell. And I expect a big day from Le'Veon Bell to the tune of, you know, 120-plus rushing yards, probably 40 or 50 receiving yards from him. And, you know, they're going to run it up the gut. Now, again, what we need to look out for is Vontaze Burfict, because he's nuts and you just don't know what he's going to do, you know. And, you know, even Ben Roethlisberger admits that's a guy that he's just out of his head. You know, he's hurt the Killer Bees, all of 3 of them, at some point, you know, in his career. So he's definitely something that they'll have to watch. And then this Nick Vigil, he's got 79 tackles. So he's their leading tackler by quite a few. He's a guy that they're going to have to certainly contain. So that said, I think the Steelers are going to go out there rushing the ball, heavy dose of Bell, with Ben throwing it 25-ish times. I think it's going to be a ball control game. I think it's going to be a close game. And I think the Steelers are going to come out on top. I don't see them eclipsing the 30-point mark this week. I just think it's going to be more of a hard-fought contest, a little bit lower-scoring contest. So I'm going to give them the win, but I'm going to give it at a 23-17, kind of a late scoring drive win. But they will improve to 10-2 in my eyes. So we'll see. Now, before I go, I do want to mention one thing. I am helping with the Pittsburgh's Players Association holiday event on December 8th. And you can go get your tickets at NFLPlayersAssociationPittsburgh.com. There will be several Steelers there again on Friday, December 8th, 6:30 to 10:30 p.m. at the Sheridan Station Square. There's giving out a lot of prizes, food, dancing, photo opportunities with plenty of former Steelers, autographs, and a whole bunch more. I actually have a couple of tickets. Hopefully you guys go get your tickets. And check it out, because it's going to be a great event. It's their second annual one. They want to continue to do this. They're raising money to provide scholarships for kids to go to school. So a lot of good things going on. So if you can, check it out. In the meantime, get ready for the Bengals. And we'll talk to you next week, hopefully, after another Steelers victory.